Alrighty. Get her done. Get her done. Alrighty, come back to order. Item number 12 is discussion, presentation from Nevada State Health Division. Who do we have here? Come on up.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Mary Wary. I'm a deputy with the Nevada State Health Division. And I'm basically here to give you an update on one of probably the most unpopular bills last session. That was Senate Bill 471. It required the counties to pay the state for things that prior to that the state general fund had been covering. There were a number of items in that Senate bill that the counties are being assessed dollars for. The one that we're responsible for, TB and STD services, those are primarily being covered by Carson City Health and Human Services. The one that we're providing services for is the environmental health. So I have with me Joe Pollock. He's the program manager for environmental health. And then one of his staff, Paul Cohen, who does most of the inspections up here in your food establishments. I did just want to provide you, though, for the last couple of years, the Health Division had a grant to look at Healthy People 2010. It's a Center for Disease Control funded project to look at health outcomes for citizens by county and by state. And so I do have the report specific to Story County. If there's anybody who writes grants or may be interested in this information, I'll leave that with you. Thank you. And then just for your personal edification, again, for people who write grants, there's a great website. It's funded by Robert Wood Johnson and University of Wisconsin. It's called County Health Rankings. If you go to www.countyhealthrankings.org, you can drill down and compare Story County to the other counties in the state or Story County to other counties in the United States and look at how your citizens rank in terms of their morbidity, their mortality, their health factors, things that are predictors of good health or poor health. And that's pretty much what the Nevada State Health Division is focused on, is preventing unnecessary disease and trying to make sure that we have a healthy population. So to that end, Joe will speak to the $17,548 that we've assessed from you this past year, that and our fees that we charge for the licensees is what pays for the environmental health services that you get for this county. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Joe Pollock. I am the program manager for the environmental health program. Mary did mention Paul. If you could stand up and wave, that's your Story County inspector. And did you guys get these handouts? I apologize. I only brought two, but if you could. Quickly going through these, the first slide shows the activities that, that environmental health does in your county as well as the rural counties throughout the state. Food establishments, of course, are a major activity. It's about 90% of what we do. We also take care of your temporary foods at special events, residential septic systems, septic tank pumpers, public bathing places, recreational vehicle parks, mass gatherings, school institutions and jails, conservation camps, labor camps, drugs and cosmetics, and we also respond to food-related truck wrecks. The next shot shows the number of food establishments that we have in Health Division jurisdiction. And as you can see there, Story County has 83 permitted food establishments, and we have a total of 2,717 in our inventory. Based on that, SB 471 required us to assess the counties for activities in those counties that aren't covered by fees. We are roughly 70% fee funded. The other 30% was general fund and is now assessed to the counties. The Story County percentage of that, or the amount, is the what Mary mentioned, at $17,584. That's assessed quarterly. And the total for the year is the $17,584. In the last 12 months, There were 136 inspections completed in Story County. 84 were in restaurants, bars, and caterers, 16 in markets, delis, and processors, 16 in your schools and school kitchens, 7 in warehouses. We did inspect the Story County Jail, 2 RV parks. We did 9 swimming pool and spa inspections, and 1 bakery. In those 83 permitted facilities, we found 22 of those food establishments did have at least one critical violation. A critical violation is something that is an imminent hazard to health, and examples of that would be improper cooking temperatures, improper holding temperatures, improper reheating of food, ill employees, and poor personal hygiene of the food handlers. Also, rodent and insect infestations, and unknown or illegal food sources. Of those 22 establishments, there were a total of 25 critical violations. So, at least 3 of them had at least 2, and 24 of those were corrected on site, and 1 was corrected with a compliance schedule. We always try to, if possible, get those critical violations corrected before we leave the facility. We want to make sure there's no. The health hazard is abated prior to leaving. If they're put on a compliance schedule, then typically that means that that piece of equipment or is removed until it is repaired, that type of thing. They're not allowed to operate with a critical violation in place. The good news is we haven't had any foodborne illness outbreaks in Story County for the past 12 months, and we did complete 100% of the statutory mandated inspections for Story County. And this includes 2 inspections for your schools and your school kitchens. We go in there at least once per semester. The focus of our program is one of education as well as regulatory. We like to work with your operators. We try to make sure that when we come back in, they're familiar not only why it's a violation, but why it's a concern, and why they need to look out for that and train their employees appropriately. I think Paul's one of our better communicators in doing that. I think your operators are very happy to have Paul. And I know that there's a plan that's moving forward for the quad counties. Carson City has submitted a plan to us that we've reviewed and forwarded on to our director to have environmental services provided by Carson City Health and Human Services. We have endorsed that plan for Carson City. To my knowledge, it has not been forwarded to the governor's office yet. It is still with Director Wilden. Once it goes to the governor for his endorsement, it will go to the IFC for approval, and I assume that plan would move forward. I would be I'd be happy to meet with your staff at any time if they have any questions about what we do in the county, as well as what the plan is for Carson City and what the differences might be. I'm available at their convenience. And I thank you for your time today. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I might have, maybe before Joe leaves, is he referenced something, you know, very important. I appreciate the reference to the quad counties. Carson City, I believe, is the only jurisdiction of the 4 that does their own. Douglas is through the state, and Lyon County is through the state. And again, we'll talk a very frequent theme is regionalization. And some are unhappy with state health services whatsoever. In fact, we're thrilled. It's a matter of trying to bridge that gap on that $17,000 and then picking up a few other things that we may be able to do that, quite frankly, the state, because of their mechanisms, NACs and everything, just simply can't. One specifically is we have no tattoo parlors for a couple of reasons, one of which is, you know, our zoning currently doesn't allow for that. That is a very frequent question. We experimented this past year. And utilize Carson City. The state doesn't inspect tattoo parlors, and staff's not recommending to anybody that we have unregulated, uninspected tattoo parlors, as there are in certain counties or jurisdictions of the state. So it's just a matter of things that they can't do. And things, again, I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you if Carson City does this, but I don't believe you do. You know, I'd love to see the report cards, the scorecards mandatorily posted. You know, and again, I think Carson City can probably flex as a local jurisdiction better, not better. Easier.
I won't take offense.
Easier. So it's not a matter of we're unhappy with this. We're trying to save money again, back to that theory. And we appreciate the support that this group has given us unilaterally through Mary in the legislature. I listened to you testify, you know, days, you know, at the last session. I'm sure you're ramped up for the next one. But, again, I certainly hope Director Wilden will get that moved to the governor so we can, you know, at least have a crystal clear idea going into our next fiscal year in July. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, item 13, discussion and action, reappointment of Dr. Wong as the county health officer.
I'll take that one, I believe. NRS 439-310 requires that the county commission appoint, designate a county health officer. It is a very low-key position that we've always had difficulty getting filled until recent years. And really, their primary function is oversight of our partner, the school district, in their student inoculation and vaccination programs. They set the protocols. Our current health officer, who is Dr. Wong, utilizes CDC standards, but then may bring in some unique things to the state of Nevada that CDC does or doesn't address. They can also be brought in on mass health issues, but knock on wood, that has not been done. Your options really are twofold. We could go out and hire a health officer for about $80,000-$90,000 a year, probably at least, and maybe more. Or Gary's looking at me like that would be a Bob Morris deal, so probably $200,000. Or we can rely on HAWC, our Health Access Washoe County Clinic that's here, and Dr. Ahern, Dan Ahern, who is the director of HAWC, has graciously said, use us. I'll put one of my best staff positions as yourself, as your health officer, for nothing.
Yep.
So staff recommendation is that you appoint or reappoint Dr. Wong to serve as our health officer this year.
I make a motion we hereby reappoint Dr. Wong as the county health officer.
Public comment. We have to have public comment.
Oh, public comment.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments on this item? Go ahead.
I hereby make the motion that we reappoint Dr. Wong as the county health officer for NRS 439.310.
I'll second Commissioner Gilman's motion.
All righty. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And you're an aye also?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. Okay, item 14 is discussion and action approval of resolution 13363 in support of the consolidated tax bill draft generated by the interim subcommittee to study the allocation of money distributed from the local government tax distribution account. And
I can take this one if you like, Mr. Chair.
Go for it. It's AB 68, if anyone wants to make a note of that.
This is a resolution that was actually drafted by AM that encouraged all Nevada counties and local jurisdictions to support at the request of the Assembly Chairwoman, Marilyn Kirkpatrick. She has been slugging this out for the last session because the last session is this resolution that I'll read here in a moment. As this indicates, directed an interim committee, you know, to figure out what to do with sales tax, allocations and distributions. And there was an awful lot at risk for us, including our 0.25% tourism tax, our 0.25% infrastructure tax, all those things. So we participated actively through, again, resources like Mary Walker, Yvonne Murphy, and Maddie Lowther. We dodged the bullet on this one. Basically, what this could have turned into is it could have basically ignited the north-south debates over whether or not fair share or revenue sharing of sales tax is fair anymore. Clark County for years has felt we're carrying the rurals, and in fact most years they are. We get more in sales tax from these distributed formulas than we generate internally ourselves in many years. So the resolution is recommended. I do want to point out, thank Commissioner Gilman for the oversight, where when I get to the bottom, it's going to be supports the attached draft bill. The attached draft bill has now been provided to the three of you
for your review, and also, and this is Assemblywoman Kirkpatrick's PDR, that has been provided and is also provided to the clerk for the public record. So it's logical. So thank you, sir. And the resolution is, resolution in support of the consolidated tax bill draft generated by the interim subcommittee to study the allocation of money distributed from the local government tax distribution account. Again, as you can tell, it kind of sounds a little onerous, but it came out well. Whereas the 2011 legislature passed AB 71, directing the legislative commission to conduct an interim study concerning the equitable allocation of money distributed from the local government tax distribution account. And whereas the local government tax distribution account, also known as consolidated tax, is comprised of six state collected tax revenues for the benefit of local governments, over which 80% is basic and supplemental city county relief sales and use tax. And whereas the Nevada Legislative Commission subcommittee to study the allocation of money distributed from the local government tax distribution account sanctioned a working group of local government finance staff and others to work with the LCB and the Nevada Department of Taxation to analyze the current formula and make recommendations for improvements, and whereas Story County participated in the local government working group meetings, and whereas the local government working group meetings conducted 44 meetings with more than 50 local government stakeholders from all regions of the state participating, and whereas significant contributions to the review and analysis of the C-Tax review were also made by the Nevada Department of Taxation and LCB, and whereas the local government working group reached a consensus on changes to the allocation formula for the local government tax account, and whereas the local government working group collaborated with LCB to draft a bill codifying the changes as recommended, and whereas the attached bill draft request 32-247 represents the aforementioned changes to formulate to the formula which were passed out of the Legislative Commission subcommittee. Now, therefore, be it resolved, hereby resolved, that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County supports the attached bill draft request to modify the allocation formula for the local government distribution account effective in the fiscal year 2014. In essence, this will be a tool then that Assemblywoman Chairman Kirkpatrick hopes to take through the legislative process, not make it a partisan issue, but get it done for everybody, and we came out very well. We will be encouraging Senator Settlemyer and Assemblyman Wheeler, you know, to support this through our lobbying efforts. I will inform Bum Hess. Mary Walker has definitely played a huge part in this, and Maggie Walker is aware as well. So staff definitely recommends this. If we get it done and signed tonight, I'm going to ask Vanessa to email it to me so we can email it to Chairwoman Kirkpatrick, and she would then know that we were one of the first counties in Nevada to support this going into the 2013 session.
Excellent. Any questions or comments? Looking for a motion, then.
I would have a comment, if I may.
Go ahead.
Being our first commission hearing, I have a personal policy in my life that I don't sign or approve things that I haven't read. And I haven't done that for 45 years in business. And so when I arrived this morning, I was concerned about this item 14 because we were asking for approval, and the bill draft was actually not a part of what we were reading. And so I'm going to thank very much Hugh Gallagher and Pat Wynn, because we sat and we chatted this morning. I said, you know, I can't support this today because I haven't read it, don't understand it. And so we got busy on the phone. We got busy with the folks in the community. We got the bill draft up here. And I'm going to tell you candidly, reading a bill draft was one of the more challenging things of the day to day. But you don't just take one of those and pull it apart easily. But Pat, Mr. Gallagher went to work with it, and I'm going to tell you, at this point, I'm very comfortable with this motion, and I'm comfortable with what I've seen, and I believe that it's in the best interest of Torrey County to approve it. And one man's opinion, but that's where I am, and I'm prepared to support it.
Are you going to make a motion, though?
Is that enough?
Yeah,
you want more? All right. So I hereby make a motion that we approve resolution 13363 in support of the consolidation tax bill draft generated by the interim subcommittee to study the allocation of money distributed from the local government tax distribution account.
Second your motion.
Very well. I have a motion and a second, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I haven't myself read it yet, but I trust our staff, and your fine print is going to take a while to get through. So, moving on then. Item number 15 is discussion action approval of Resolution 13364 declaring January 2013 as National Radon Action Month.
Chairman, I'll start out with that and then I'll invite up our leader on this one. This is a cooperative effort that I know we've done, Joanne, for several years in a row now.
Yeah.
And we really want the public, for reasons I'll let Joanne explain, to focus on the serious issues and dangers associated with radon. And by declaring that through resolution, as we prepared for you, where I will speak through it, I will first, though, ask Joanne to join us and fill us in on radon.
Tell us about all of this stuff, because I don't have any radon, or I don't have any uranium in my yard.
I
don't detect any.
It's just a flyer on the radon issue, so it's possible to some of the background radon, and I'm going to leave these downstairs. I'm Joanne Skelly, and I'm the Extension Educator for Story County with University of Nevada Cooperative Extension. Not only do we do the radon program, but you may be more familiar with our 4-H program and shooting sports and living with fire program. I know the chief is very familiar with that. So I wanted to thank the commissioners and welcome for presenting us with the Radon Action Month proclamation for January, because we feel that this proclamation and your support of our service to the county is especially important in Story County, as more residents need to know about radon and its health risk as lung cancer deaths. By exposure to radon can be prevented with a simple 3-day test, which we are going to be providing free through February. And Dean Haymore has said we can leave the kits at his office for people to pick up. Plus, Sandy Wallen, our 4-H coordinator, will have them at our office at the community center, and I'll have to let you know exactly what date she's going to schedule to be here. But also on the flyer, there is our phone number, and people can call, and Sandy lives up here, so she can just meet them at the community center and hand kits out when people need them. So, according to experts, living in a home with an average radon level of 4 picocuries per liter poses a similar risk of developing lung cancer to smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day. In Story County, only 24 homes have been tested so far, and of those 24 homes, only 16 had valid tests. And out of those, 4 had radon levels between 4 to 10 picocuries per liter. This means about 25% of the homes could possibly have a radon problem. The highest level in the county was only 7.8. However, the maximum level in the state that we've seen so far over the 5 years that we've been doing radon testing and outreach and awareness building has been 155.6 in Reno in the 89511 area code. So this is National Radon Action Month across the United States, and we have programs to inform our citizens of the radon health risk. And testing is the only way to know if you have radon in your home. So we are giving those out, as I said. Let's see. And in Nevada, Cooperative Extension is the agency that the federal government has chosen to be the educator and the leader in radon information. There will be a radon program tomorrow night down at the Carson City Senior Center at 7 p.m., and we could do a program up here if we can find a venue and get some people interested in that. So I think, Pat, that you're going to read the proclamation, and that will give you a lot more information Radon is a radioactive gas that is a byproduct of uranium, and it can be of anywhere in most anyone's home here and across the United States. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Pat? Questions to Joanne before the resolution?
Anything?
Public comment?
I had one question. Of the houses that were tested in Story County, were, you know, some of them had measurement in there. Were any of those above the accepted level?
Yes, those 25, four of those homes out of that 16 came in above, okay. Between 4 and 10, which is not hugely high, but it is at the action level, and things need to happen to mitigate that.
Have any other neighborhoods been done in Story County? Mark Twain, Lockwood?
Yes, and if you would like to read the information, you can go to radonnv.com. I think that's on the handout there. I think it's .com or is it .org? Where did I put it? At the bottom, .com, radonnv.com.
The mitigation program is fairly simple.
It can be. It can be. It depends on whether your home is on a slab foundation or whether there's a crawl space, and it involves sealing the ground underneath with a real heavy-duty special plastic and sealing and caulking the seams with a special caulking and then venting out through the roof or the side of the house and having a fan that releases the radon. If it's in a slab, that would be for a crawl space. If it's in a slab, you actually drill holes and run the fan and do many of the same things.
It could be a pretty costly mitigation.
It can start about $1,500. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something that it's the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers, and it's the risk multiplied in smokers.
If found, does it go on a registry that particular facility or home is therefore identified as a problem?
I'm not sure. It may be one of those things that happens in real estate, but I'm not that familiar with whether we do track by zip code where radon is occurring, and I'm not so sure if our records are specific to addresses. I think that we're more interested in looking at, you know, this is good data to collect, so to look at it in a broader spectrum to say, like, the 89511 area in Washoe County had some of the highest levels in the state. But I couldn't answer that. I could look it up and get back to you, though.
Yeah. It sounds like it might have some consequences attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just the...
It could possibly that, you know, it's one of those factors that needs to be mitigated or revealed to the next buyer or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would suspect. Anything else?
Right. Joanne, if you have an extra copy of that, I had to give mine up because Vanessa's free.
I have lots of copies for you still.
She demands one for the public record. Thanks. Okay, this is Resolution 13-364, a proclamation by Story County. Whereas many residents of Story County don't know about radon yet need to know for the safety and well-being of their families, and whereas radon is a colorless, odorless, naturally occurring radioactive gas that may threaten the health of our citizens and their families. And whereas the challenge is that we can't see, smell, or taste radon, so it's easy to forget that radon may be a problem in homes, schools, and any building in Story County. And whereas radon is the leading cause of lung cancer for non-smokers in the United States and the second leading cause among for smokers. And whereas the U.S. EPA estimates 21,000 people in the U.S. die each year from lung cancer caused by indoor radon exposure. And whereas radon kills more people than secondhand smoke, drunken driving, falls in the home, drowning, or home fires. And whereas any home in Story County may have elevated levels of radon, even if other homes in the same neighborhood do not. And whereas testing for radon is simple, inexpensive, and when identified, the problems can be fixed. And whereas the U.S. Surgeon General recommends all homes be tested for radon and fixed if they have 4 PCI per liter or greater levels of radon. Whereas the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension and the Nevada State Health Division and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency are supporting efforts to encourage Americans to test homes for radon, mitigate the elevated levels of radon, and have new homes built with radon-reducing materials and features. Now, therefore, we, the Story County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim January 2013 as National Radon Action Month in Story County, Nevada.
Questions or comments? Mark, please. Commissioners, Mark Joseph Phillips speaking to item number 15, and Mr. Gilman brought up a real good point, and Joanna, a few years back, I took home a kid. Well, I don't own a home. I'm just living in somebody else's house, and the homeowner decided she didn't want to know. And I got to add that these kits are expensive, and well, I was contacted a number of times trying to follow up on getting the kit used and turned back in. And so I just wanted to add that if somebody's going to take the kit, they should use it. And I hadn't, you're not the first one, Lance, that has thought of the consequences of testing and finding out something's wrong, then what?
And I just might add, so Joanne doesn't have to come all the way back up, Mark is correct in that, you know, the kits aren't cheap, but they are free, provided, you know, through the cooperative extension and those efforts. So we want to make absolutely sure that the people out there, particularly the media, who hopefully helps us spread the word, you know, understands that, you know, these are free to be picked up at Dean's office through the good efforts of the cooperative extension and their partners.
And then we'll take until next week to get a supply of your meeting.
I guess I'd be a little concerned, Pat, that the Story County Commission is taking the position of underwriting or supporting the program, and I'm not entirely comfortable with the economic impacts of it. I understand the health impact, but I wonder if we ought to spend a little more time and look at the economic impacts. I have heard, and I'm not an expert in this field whatsoever, but there have been some rather serious financial impacts in the state of California with this, and I don't know enough to tell you about it, that it may be the best thing for all of us in the world to do. I'm just not sure if the commission should verify and validate the process, at least at this meeting.
I will follow the direction of the commission.
Well, that's an interesting question.
Commissioner Gilman, if I worked with Joanne between now and next Tuesday, I mean, I hope we can get January declared in January, if at all possible. If we came up with some average mitigation costs for slabs and
I'll do the research myself. I don't mind doing that a bit. I'm not opposed. I just would like to know a bit more about the financial implications.
The information is on the flyer as far as the average cost for a slab. For a slab or basement foundation is $1,500, and average cost for a crawl space, it's on the back side of that handout, is $3,000. The one thing I would offer to Commissioner Gilman is the fact that if you did found out that you did not have radon, that could be a nice selling factor as well.
Agreed. I agree. I think I'd like the commission just to give this a bit more time so we can look into. I realize the kits are free, and I realize that it serves a public service from a health-wise. I'd like to know a little bit more about the financial impact, only because I know it has created some in other markets.
I'd be happy to work with Mr. Witten to get back to you on those kinds of impacts. Because I would like to know too, because this could be a reason people don't do it, and if we can satisfy their concerns, then that would be a good thing.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd look at is if the commission votes and approves this, then we're in effect underwriting the project or the process, and I think we ought to do that with full disclosure before we do that.
I see it as the county simply, there's no requirement that any homeowner or business owner do this test. And when it says up here, radon action month, I see action as awareness, radon awareness month.
I understand.
People to be aware, that's how I read into it.
Yeah, the way I read into it is that we are acknowledging this as radon awareness month, and I don't see that we're necessarily underwriting anything here that would put us in a position of of responsibility.
I understand.
But do you have any comments, Bill?
No, I think that's, but it's likely that if you did this test and you didn't do anything about it and then you sold your home, you'd have to disclose that as a latent defect.
Correct.
And I suppose a subsequent purchaser could say that you didn't disclose that latent defect. I tend to agree that I think that the resolution just talks about awareness and not anything else. So. So this is just, I think.
It's a, what the way that we look at it, I know, is that it's a health measure that people who might be concerned about their health might want to take. We're not advocating that, you know, somebody who's worried about selling a home, you know. It's just, but if there's a lot of folks out there that would be happy to do the test and know that they could benefit their children's health, their family's health, that kind of thing. And
I couldn't agree more, and I realize that health is an important issue. I've been in the reselling of real estate for over 40 years.
Yes, so you have.
And I've run into the pitfalls of places that find they have these things, mm-hmm. and it really can have a dramatic economic impact. And so I agree with it. It's awareness. We're not, but as long as we're not underwriting, as long as we're not saying to our public, you guys ought to go out and do this, you ought to be aware of it. But it does come with consequences.
Well, and I would like to look into whether or not buyers can request a radon test and not buy a house based on if it comes back and isn't mitigated.
I suspect it could. Yeah, I suspect it could. Yeah.
I think I would.
I suppose the only recommendation here is the U.S. Attorney, the Surgeon General recommends that it be tested. You wouldn't, by adopting this proclamation, be making any recommendations. It says it basically just is an awareness thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's up to you. And if two of you want to do it, then one of you can make the motion, the other one can second it.
And Joanne, I think we did not do this last year, and we didn't, and we did it, I think, a year. We've done this for several years now, have we not?
At least.
And so.
And we can, you know, through the point of delivery of these kits, Commissioner Gilman, if you wish, we can. I mean, I don't want to discourage them, but we can make sure even that the section that Joanne has pointed out, you know, with the average cost, you know, is highlighted on, I'm assuming our package will include these. You know, we can highlight those and make sure at the point of delivery that they're aware of, you know, the nature of the beast. I know when I sold a home, you know, they did a home inspection, and it was tested for radon, not the one up here, but elsewhere. So.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you, Joanne, another question? Have you had any other counties refuse to pass a resolution?
No, sir.
Let's do it.
Somebody want to ask if there's any more?
I don't have a problem approving this because it's in my estimation and looking into it in the past couple of years and even before I was sitting up here, it's an awareness thing. I understand Lance's position. If you tested positive for radon in your home, you would, and you put that on the market, I believe you're correct. You'd have to put that down on a disclosure.
Or you'd have to mitigate to the tune of
$3,000.
Yeah, you'd
have
to. How much that is.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so and I'm also in the buying and the selling of real estate too, and I've never had an issue with it. Although I have to be honest and say I've never
tested.
I've never tested. So, but
if,
I have
if,
no. I'm,
you know,
I'm
we're not. If we're just suggesting that, let's be aware of radon if you want to be, I'll go with that. but I just don't want, as a commission, to be suggesting to our constituents that they should do this, you know, that we're advocating this process.
Would you like to then formulate a motion and stipulate that the commission in no way is...
Yeah. It is just a motion to approve the resolution or proclamation, but with the caveat that the commission...
Yep, does not...
What he said.
Yep.
So I make a motion that we approve the motion with the caveat that the commission is not underwriting the process.
Very
is that
well.
The right word?
That would be right.
Yeah.
Second your motion.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Moving along then. Item number 16, discussion action. Appeal of a brothel work card denial submitted by the Wild Horse Saloon. And who would like to have this?
I'll take a lead. Again, for the record, I want everything to be very clear. This is not a brothel issue. This is a work card for a gentleman that's here today in the audience, Mr. Gaines. Mr. Gaines, I apologize for one error on the documentation. Sheriff Antonora pointed out on his letter that it auto-corrected Linward to Leonard, but our agenda item at least had just Lynn, as you've signed the initial letter of appeal. But Story County Code 516.220 does require anyone working on the premises of a licensed brothel to go through the work card procedures. And again, I'm distinguishing this as a Wild Horse Saloon work card that just happens to be conducted on brothel property. And I think before I go too much further, Commissioner Gilman, do you wish to make a statement up front before I
do. this is kind of interesting here. In my first to commissioner, I'm going to recuse myself from a vote today. I can tell you that Lynn has worked for me for the better part of 2 years. And as a matter of fact, up here in our community, he won and was instrumental in winning two awards of People's Choice, both at the Calf Rise and also for his incredible chili. So I can validate and verify that he is a wonderful chef and been with us a long time. So with that, I will recuse myself from the vote.
We need to finish up my part so we can get on with the business. I've asked three people to speak, but two of them collectively. The county code I referred to does provide for certain reasons that a work card can be denied. The sheriff makes those initial calls, but it also allows for a person who has been denied or revoked may file an appeal with the Board of County Commissioners for possible reconsideration. So with that, Mr. Gaines is here to speak together with Don Gilman, who represents the bar property, and then Sheriff Antonaro is prepared to answer any questions that may arise either out of his letter or for additional information.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Gilman. I'm here on behalf of the Wild Horse Saloon. Wild Horse Saloon is a bar and steakhouse operating in Story County. I'd like to thank you for hearing this matter and considering our request. Wild Horse Saloon is sponsoring Mr. Lynn Gaines' request for a work card. Lynn Gaines worked for us previously from February 2012 through November 2012. We have found him to be a reliable, dependable worker, and he is a highly skilled, very experienced professional chef. You have in front of you a letter requesting approval of his work card. You will see in that letter he has worked previously and successfully for a number of restaurants in the region, including restaurants at Circus Circus, El Dorado, Nugget, and Silver Club. I thank you for your consideration and would like to thank the sheriff and the county staff for supporting this application.
I guess reading the ordinance here and conferring with the county manager and the sheriff on this matter, would appear to me, Mr. Gaines, that you did bring up some of your past history when you applied for the work card, and you were not withholding information. And I commend you for that. Did you wish to make any comment, Sheriff?
Just if there's any questions.
All right. We have a recommendation from the sheriff to that he has no major concerns over issuing a work card. And how often do you reissue these? Every year? Is that a?
Yes, they renew every year.
So we do a quickie background to make sure that nothing.
No, it's fine with you.
Yeah, I believe it is every year. Yes, sir.
So, I have. I'm sure. I'm satisfied. This is things that were a long time ago. Did you have anything, Mr. Gaines, you wish to say to the board?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for your consideration in the matter, and for future reference, when I do apply for the card, you know, like I say, I just would like to note that I honestly didn't get committed for anything like that. So when I reapply, I don't know what to put, you know, for my information, it's no, you know, and I don't know will that hinder next year, you know, so that's.
We'll work through that. And yeah. And staff, after consulting with the sheriff as well, staff is recommending approval of this,
yeah.
Based primarily on the fact that the sheriff again has expressed no issues if this is yeah. If this is issued.
As far as the renewal process with the approval of the full board, any renewal in subsequent years would just be based on basically what's happened in this past year. So we won't have to go through all this process.
All righty. So, any comments, questions?
Yeah,
come on up front here.
Come on up.
Right up here to the podium. Otherwise, we can't get this recorded, so you need to come up to the podium.
And state your name, please.
At least go on tape.
I don't know if this gentleman remembers me, but I didn't look this way New Year's Eve. And I went to the party at Fourth Ward School. My husband and I sat right next to the table, sir, where you were carving the beautiful beef. Thank you. I watched this man when people, women specifically, and he helps them in to move a chair or two. He would step out from behind what he was doing, and he would help people sit down. And I'm not talking, because the chairs were close to each other, and it was very difficult to get in and out, and he was gracious. It was just very natural for him to come over and move chairs around so people could get in. My voice is shaking because I'm not used to this, but I did want to tell you I witnessed the kindness in this man's heart. I don't know him, but I watched it.
And before you leave, I'm sorry, but we have to ask you just into the microphone.
My name.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm Judy Rand.
Thank you
for listening. You're welcome.
Anyone else care to make any questions, comments?
You know, if I could make just our ordinance, one of the things you look at is any prior criminal histories. And I think the sheriff generally, if they do have one, denies it. I get probably on the... But there's also the outlet that they're availing themselves of now of coming to this board, and this board can decide. Just as an example, I was convicted of a DUI in 1972, the night I graduated from college. Now, I could have probably had that sealed years ago, but people carry criminal records with them. But over time, I'd like to think that it's been 40 years since that happened. I wouldn't have a license
or a permit denied on that basis. But it's not a bad idea. We want to try to keep the criminal element out of the brothels and away from them. But that's why we have the exception that they can come to this board and ask the board to approve it based on the person's history since that time. So generally speaking, this, I don't know how often it happens, but that I think is what we're talking about.
Yeah, here. Yeah. I remember that night you got that, too.
Yeah, I should have gotten a lot more when I was a kid.
It's probably sitting in the other seat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. McBride?
Upon reading the letters from Don Gilman and Sheriff Fontanaro and the testimony given here today, I would move to reinstate the work card for Mr. Gaines.
And I also have read all of the documents, and I'll second that motion. So all in favor?
Aye.
And an aye.
And I'll recuse myself. And,
abstain.
And abstain. I'll abstain.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Greatly appreciate. Thank you. All righty. Let's see. Next two items, we're going to pass right by those. We'll take care of those. Community development and planning. Austin. Make it quick, we're hungry.
Okay, so it'll only take half an hour. All right, Commissioners, Chairman, thank you. Community Development Department, regarding business licenses, we recommend to continue, and just for our new commissioners, typically I'll explain the continuances that we recommend first. Then you could approve those continuances, and then I would go to the approvals of the ones we recommend to approve. If you like, I'll continue to do it that way.
Yeah.
It seems strategically make more sense. So we would recommend that we continue items E, F, and H. That's Jacobson Companies, Dynarex Corporation, and U.S. Ordnance. They're working on some minor finishing up building permit stuff, or building COs and inspections and those sorts of things, wrapping them up.
Excuse me, Austin, did you say H also continue?
Yep. E, F, and H.
E, F,
and it's Jacobson, Dynarex, and U.S. Ordnance. So we just recommend to continue those to another further meeting when they'll be all done with that. And then we would recommend, typically...
This would be a good time, flow-wise, just to say motion to continue as recommended.
Okay.
These will be two actions you're going to take.
Public comment?
Motion. I make a motion that we continue the possible license board actions on items E, F, and H.
Correct.
Second your motion.
And go ahead, and we typically go all in favor. We do the whole motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Sorry for not explaining that a little clearer. So for the next items, we recommend to go ahead and approve A, B, C, D, and G. And the first words of those will be Echelon, Terminix, Catchall, Sun Mountain, and PPG Industries.
Do you like to have the names into the motion?
No.
No.
Well, then I'll make the motion that we approve the second reading license applications for A, B, C, D, and G.
Correct.
Do you get to have discussion on that before we go forward?
Excuse me?
There does have to be discussion on this before we go forward.
There should be, since it's an action, yes.
I believe that, did they ask for it?
I thought they did.
Not on this one. Public comment on
that? Yeah,
public comment.
You made the motion. Go ahead.
I'll second your motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Board comment, Lance?
Thanks for a great day. This was the inaugural, and you know, I've really enjoyed all this. I'm sorry we have to break so early.
Marsh?
Yeah, I hate to keep everybody a little bit longer. I got just a couple of things to say here. It's on the passing of a couple of Comstockers over the holidays. Sometimes we're remiss in remembering some of these folks. We get caught up in our personal lives. So I'd like to mention Thelma Adams. She moved here from Pennsylvania almost 50 years ago with her husband Al, five children, being Carrie, who lived with her, taking care of her until her passing. Tom, who retired recently from NDOT. Mike works at Air National Guard. Gary, a school teacher at Loyalton. Derek, who works at the Delta Saloon. She lived up on the divide between Schaefer and the Petrinis. They had horses. They let us ride when we were kids, as long as we showed up with permission slip and ride. After the passing of Al, she later on went on and married Roy Sewell, so most people knew her as Thelma Sewell. She worked in my father's business for about 24 years until she retired in 2003. Thelma was a really nice lady. Everybody loved her, and she was a good friend to many up here on the Comstock. And so Thelma was 79 years old. Second of all, give me 1 second, please. You okay?
Yeah.
Can I make maneuver? Next, we've got Richard Persons. He was a classmate of mine, and he moved here as a teenager with his parents, Dorothy and Martin Kreider. They owned a general store on C Street, right across from the house I grew up in. Martin later went to work as the undersheriff for Bob Del Carlo when he was sheriff, and he was also our Boy Scout troop leader. Upon the passing of Martin, Dorothy sold her store and went on to work for several saloons in town, working as their casino cashier. Richard went to school here, played basketball for the Muckers, and was on the 1972 team that won the state championship, the same year he graduated from high school. He later married Debbie Salmon. They had two sons, Sam and Jeremy. Richard's sister, Marie, worked for Story County, where she retired here a few years ago. And Joey Gibbons, who works for the Story County Public Works Department, is Richard's nephew. A lot of you knew Richard. He was only 58. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
We're done.